This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in loop on Sports Radio 610. B. Scott in for the OG, John Lopez, which served us pretty well last segment in our question of the day, asking about what are you most shameless about? And I do love that everybody has jumped in here. I do want to circle back around to the varsity high school football player who said that they broke an opponent's arm because their opponents were laughing at a teammate. It was their brother.
A little insane. Oh, okay.
They did it for their literal brother.
Okay.
So all that right. Adds a different level. It wasn't all just right. Like my teammate, my brother as a teammate. You know how we doing football?
No, this he's was
like,
my brother's keeper type.
This is my blood.
Okay, I got you.
Like, ain't nobody laughing at my brother except for me. So there was that. And then also, I want you to understand, I have great personal appreciation for all the folks that are trying to put me onto delicious drinks, because that is what I'm here for. The last thing I want is to pay all this money for alcohol, for alcohol, sometimes I'll call it, for it to be scrunching my face up. You know what I mean?
Like we accept the unintended consequences of the question of the day.
Yes.
We do accept it.
That's right.
If it means we get better drinks, better Rolodex of go-tos, then we'll take it.
Nothing makes me more mad than when I get an old-fashioned and it tastes like it's made with 86 octane.
Ooh.
That kills me. So anyways, let's go around the NFL here.
But shout out to that question of the day, not being inspired by John Lopez, but very much having a John Lopez feel. What are you most shameless about?
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, that could have easily been in the spirit of John Lopez not being here today.
Sure.
So I love that.
That's not where it came from at all. All right. Let's go around the NFL now, where I'm going to jump right to this because I just have this as a fascinating kind of thing for me. Peter Schrager, now with the ESPN, was kind of talking about the NFL and their endless growth in a roundabout way, because it's been kind of hypothesized that the NFL is looking to possibly, with all of the international games that they're having, whether it's Brazil and Spain and Germany, and finding more and more places to play football games. Don't we have Australia on the docket here?
I believe so.
Like, they are going everywhere, man. Name a country and it feels like they have a possibility of playing a football game there at some point. And with all these international games, it feels like they're moving towards a place where they're going to get themselves an international package of games, sell that off as its own entity, and, you know, bring more revenue in to the National Football League, what is the biggest sports league in America. Except the international package, it feels reasonable to think that that would be in that space where we're seeing a lot of these international games, right? That 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock a.m. that leads into that time period. And it flows kind of nicely into what has been our typical noon schedule, early afternoon, late evening, what have you.
It gives you all-day football.
But what it would do also is that it would step upon your broadcast partners that you already have in their pregame shows. Now, it's worth remembering that Peter Schrager, before he moved to ESPN, he also worked on Fox's pregame show and that type of stuff. And I found it to be interesting. He pointed to the idea that you'd rather watch any football game than a pregame show talking about other games, which is fair. But he said, you know, that would absolutely hamper that. Do you think that that would be something that, like, would be an issue for these partners, the CBSs, the Foxes of the world? Because they put a lot of money into that, and you know they make a lot of money, especially advertising-wise, in those periods of the pregame shows that last for, a few hours every Sunday.
Yeah, so it's a conundrum because it's an obvious issue in stepping on the pregame show or on the other broadcast partner's time, if you will. I will say, so from a business standpoint, that's something that they would have to figure out, and I'm not exactly sure what the answer is for them. Like, that's a true conundrum. I will say from a fan perspective, I think the point that Peter Schrager is making is the correct one. And I would even go further to say, even without this conflict, if you will, that sometimes these pregame shows and all of this pregaming of the game is a little much. And I'm saying this as somebody who's in media and 100% loves both the sport and the media around the sport.
Sure.
I am personally here for all of it. And even with that, I feel like it's a little bit overkill. I feel like it's overkill with the NFL. I feel like it's overkill with college football. Just with even with the NBA right now.
Take that, Pat McAfee.
I don't feel like we need
hold that, Reese Davis.
2 hours, 3 hours necessarily worth of pregame. Now, does it help you get in the spirit, help you get in the flow? Do a lot of these places do a bang-up job with the production and the quality of these pregame shows? 100%. But is it necessary? Do we need it? Like, what I'm wondering is, do they at some point, aside from, or maybe as they're trying to decide what these business decisions are that they're going to have to make, at one point do they decide how much of this is fat? And at what point do we cut the fat? How much fat are we cutting? That's going to be an interesting sort of thought exercise for them.
Inexact science, or inexact poll of sorts on the YouTube page, on the text line. Multiple people saying, nah, I don't mind. You know, I'd much rather watch a game than watch, you know, people talking about the games, which I think Schrager, you're right. Like, Schrager's probably spot on that. One of the things I do wonder is, have we reached so much of a media mass where those pregame shows aren't necessary? Or do we still have a relatively casual fan base still within there that you don't want to ignore that probably gets a majority of their NFL news going into the game right then? And are you losing that? Or also, and this is me personally, as somebody who also loves the sport and the media around it, it could just be too much on the, we are here all day. Like, I'm already here from noon to 11, basically. Like, what does it change if we now have that consistent 8 to 11 feel? And I ain't talking about 3 hours, right? What does that do? I don't know. But those are kind of some of the things I thought around the international.
It just feels like you're going up against that thing that a lot of us, even in our own industry, where attention is divided and the options are just way more plentiful of things that you can do with your time. So let's say you are interested. I can even personalize this in a way. I'm interested in a game. I want to watch this game, but there's only so many hours in the day. And I also say want to watch this show, right? And I've got all this more access to different shows,
sure,
whether
it's
HBO Max, Netflix, Peacock, whatever it is. I got a show that I want to fit in here. Well, as opposed to watching a pregame show, I feel like I'm already prepped for the game. And even if I'm not, I'm going to watch the game anyway. Let me take this extra 30 right. minutes, this extra hour and a half of time that I've got, this extra 2 hours of time that I've got to knock out a Righteous Gemstones before this game starts, to knock out this documentary that I'm watching on Twitter before this. Like, whatever it is, I got time to do that. So I think between having more options and attention being divided, at some point, like, even if what you're saying is true and you still got a casual enough fan base to where there's some utility to the pregame show, I feel like you got more options to where you don't necessarily need it.
I appreciate there being one more person with me who's like, I'm really not trying to get up any earlier on Sunday for a pointless game. I imagine that the game would not be pointless, especially as you get more and more of them international. We can't just outsource only bad ones,
yeah,
right? Like, eventually we have to outsource some good ones,
that's
too.
That's going to depend on the game, right? Like, that's going to, like, what if it's your team that's playing in the game? What if it's one of your division opponents that's playing in the game that's either right on your heels or you're right on theirs, and you want to see what if that's your opponent the next week and you want to school yourself a little bit on what that team did the week before? Like, there are a lot of reasons to watch a game at a time, you know, at a time frame that you don't want to. So they'll find a way. They'll find a way to reel you in for that early game.
All right. So as we continue around the NFL here, we're around that time period of the NFL schedule where teams have to decide on fifth-year options. Even though, shout out to, was it Andrew Berry? Is that the general manager up there?
In Cleveland?
Yeah, where apparently he did not realize that. Like, he was asked about whether how he was feeling about, like, Kenny Pickett. Fifth-year option, and they was like, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that. That was something that you worried about over there. It's like, no, dog, like, that's not after the third year, like before the fourth year.
I love how he's like, man, I ain't even thought about Kenny Pickett.
He's like, I don't need to worry about that.
We brought him in, but we ain't even gave no thought to his contract. Fifth-year option, Smith-year option.
That's right.
Ain't
so
worried about that.
When it comes down to it, I mean, we know Derek Stingley Jr., you're figured out there. They have a long-term extension. What interests me is that there's some teams, and I mean, we could talk about the ones whose fifth-year options were picked up, but that's obvious, right? The Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Jordan Davis, Kyle Hamilton, just players that you know are capable and good enough that you want to keep them on a relatively affordable contract while you go. The ones that are interesting are the ones that are declined. Where you can obviously point to, eventually, they got around, Cleveland did, to not picking up, not exercising that fifth-year option for Kenny Pickett, Evan Neal, for the Giants, that tackle. You knew that those ones would be there because they have not played up to the level where you want to pay them at the same level of that fifth-year option, even if you want to return them. The ones that I got, I found to be interesting. There is a center for the Baltimore Ravens, Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah, I saw that.
He did not have his fifth-year option picked up. He was a 25th pick back in 2022. Was it 2022?
Yeah, yes, it would have to be. Yeah, it would have to be for that draft class.
Right. It'd be a $23 million option. And maybe you go, okay, well then, has he not been that good? He's been a crucial part of their offensive line. In fact, three seasons as a starter, and the Ravens have literally finished second, first, and first in rushing yards. Obviously, it's a point of emphasis for them, both with their quarterback and now with the running back. And they took a center who they drafted, and it feels like, especially in this league where good offensive linemen, you don't have to tell Texans fans, but good offensive linemen aren't easy to come by. They were like, I don't know if we want this relatively affordable fifth-year option.
I think the thing is with that, too, I think if they would have picked up that option, he would have been, I guess, he would have been the number one paid center. And I think the other paid center was like at 18 or something like that. And they did mention they definitely are trying to keep him for sure. But I guess it didn't make sense money-wise to pick up that option if you was trying to work up a contract anyway.
It's the only way that it makes sense is if that the exactly what Figgy said, that the fifth-year option is more expensive or prohibitive to them than whatever long-term deal they actually work out. Because everything that you mentioned is true. Like, think about it. And all those names that you rattled off, the Kyle Hamiltons, Jordan Day, Kyle Hamilton on this exact team, the
George Karloftis.
Yeah, all of these guys. Well, Tyler Linderbaum, for his position, is right along those lines of quality of player. You're talking about a Pro Bowler of the last 2 years, and then his first season, he was an all-rookie guy, you know, from the Football Writers. So, I mean, he's been productive since day one. You got to think that this is somebody, and especially the Ravens. This is not the Browns, by the way. No offense again, Figgy, but this is a team.
Figgy's like, stop associating me with them.
I don't work for the Browns.
I'm just saying, every time I say it, I feel like I got a Cleveland guy in here. But
I do not own the Browns, man.
When I want to give you the, you know, Exhibit A of poorly run franchise, I can't help but keep going back there. But this is their division foe. This is the Baltimore Ravens that knows what they're doing.
Where do they fall in the power rankings of I gotta come back to that.
Maybe not the worst, but an easy one to kind of just lean on and to sort of default back to. But again, Tyler Linderbaum, a part of this organization and has been productive since he got there. You got to figure that that's somebody that they're working on a long-term deal, even though it is unusual to see a guy like that not get his fifth-year option.
I was actually shocked that if they did pick that option up, he would have been the highest-paid center just off of that rookie deal. I'm like, damn, I ain't realize how many centers – wasn't really, I don't want to call him underpaid, but I didn't realize the highest pay was like at 18.
Yeah, that's Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, but it does go to show you, like, they more than likely are working on a long-term deal, and it's one that's probably going to come relatively soon, because to me, the fifth-year option, the benefit of it is also gives you enough time to sort of
work
something out and kind of kick the can down the road a little bit. Of course, the franchise tag allows you to do that as well. But it tells me they are either franchise tagging this guy or quite simply working on a
long-term deal. They're probably going to get him around 19, 20 mil instead of that 24.
Yeah, especially when they're already paying the quarterback. Kyle Hamilton is going to get paid. You know, they got other guys.
You're trying to get a long-term deal anyway. So ain't no point in picking that option up.
Right. 3-4-6. Browns already eliminated from the playoffs. Sorry, Figgy. I like this bit.
Hey, that's not my squad,
I like
man.
Like, go ahead and apologize. I am not.
My name is not Jimmy Haslam. Yeah,
the Browns finna run the first 4 QB formation that we ever seen in the NFL. They got 17 guys.
Hey, I was like, can they make that happen?
That's gonna be a hell of a training camp.
Yeah, because the problem is you don't even got no Logan Thomases over there. You're like, hey, line up at tight end, or you don't got any.
They got 17.
You don't got any Terrell Pryors. Like, hey, go right. Want to run some routes of wide receiver?
Hey, they got 17 quarterbacks, and the most athletic one is the one with two bad Achilles.
Yeah.
And not available to play for them.
That's what I was like.
And the reason why they did load up on all these quarterbacks to begin with.
What a very stupid organization. Not a stupid organization by any means as we're wrapping up around the NFL. I was talking about fifth-year options. The fifth-year option on Kenyon Green, now a Philadelphia Eagle, not exercised. So I'm interested to see because, like, this is reclamation attempt. And I guess it makes sense, right? No need to assume or no need to agree to pay more money to this man that you don't know if you're going to be able to get more talent out of him, or production is really the way I should say that. But it does make it make me feel like, hey, you're back in the Mekhi Becton situation where if he does pan out, you're probably going to have to pay him fairly well.
Yeah, it's wild the difference a year makes. He went into last year with the starting job, whether you think he won it or they just gave it to him because of who he was in his draft position and the investment in him. But he goes into last year with the Texans with a starting job, goes into this year with the Eagles basically fighting for his career. Basically fighting for his career in the NFL, period, right? Like, this is a reclamation year, but it's a contract year. Whatever happens this year will determine whether he's even in the league next year or not. In 2026, I mean.
Right, and no assurances beyond it because no fifth-year option for him. So there you go. Around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Also, just a little note, we're 2 weeks out from the schedule release, if that is of any value to you. May 14th. I know that came out a little bit ago, but I don't think I've said it officially.
Oh, over the years, we've done events for it, man. It's a big thing around here, so I can't wait for it. I don't know what we do. We'll talk to Parker, but at some point, I'd like to do something. You know what I mean? Like, let's make it a party. Let's have some fun with it.
I like what you're doing here. All right, and so that's coming down the pike. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Nick Caserio has been talking after the draft, including talking to the lovely Kay Adams. Let's hear what he had to say next.